Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Praise the Lord. So we've been talking through James so far for several weeks now. And God has been gracious to us in speaking to us. So today we come to the last part of James, James chapter 5. And James is sort of summarizing everything he's told us so far. I think I began James when we're doing the series on James. James said, count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations. And I'm going, are you crazy? Count it all joy when I'm going through trials? But then the answer was, if you're walking with God and you're seeing God and you are holding God's hand, you can go through those trials and difficulties. Then chapter 2 reminded us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. We should listen and obey. And James, the Lord's brother, who saw Jesus, lived with him. James lived that way. But if I forget to tell you, when I was researching this, a historian, Eusebius, says that James prayed so much that his knees, and he was always on his knees became like those of a camel. So they call James camel knees. He left what he taught. And James was continually praying for the church. James had seen his brother, Jesus, and saw how Jesus just prayed all the time. And so James encourages us to pray without ceasing. Then in chapter 3, we're reminded to be careful how we use our tongues and that our tongues can be used for building up and praising God, and we should not use them to blaspheme God or tear his children down. Chapter 4 calls us to humility, patient expectation of Christ's return, and return to the basic theme of our sermon today, which says, life is fragile. Let's handle it with prayer. That's what James has been talking to us about. And that's what we're going to repeat today. Life is fragile. This word here is full of difficulties and challenges. Handle it with prayer. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you that you invite us to engage with you, to participate in your work. Your children are gathered here, Lord, to listen to you. So speak. Cause us to hear you in our unique circumstances. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So James chapter 5 begins verse 14. Verse 13 says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone of you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This morning, we're singing about how we are made righteous because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't hear anything at all that I talked through this morning, remember that the blood of Christ has made you righteous, and therefore your prayer is powerful and effective. You are righteous because of the work of Jesus Christ. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I'm talking about you. I'm talking to you, Carl. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, Dale. Your prayer is powerful and effective. He invites us to join him in prayer. See, he talks about if any one of you in trouble, let them pray. That presumes that we should expect trouble in this world. We live in this dark, sin-filled, fallen world. And so trouble, affliction, is something that we should expect. That's what James started with. And so, are you in trouble? They should pray. I think that one is relatively easy. You probably pray that prayer. When you get into trouble as a little boy, oh God, please bail me out, and I won't do this again. And for many of us, that seems to be our prayer life. For many of us, prayer is the 911 call. God doesn't want it that way. In fact, what God wants is that we are talking with him continually. Ali, where are you? Come. So I see Ali with her big dad. And they are walking into this dark, scary world. It's dark, it's scary. There are monsters all over. And Ali is walking with her dad. That's you. And Ali is looking to her dad and she's talking to her dad as they go along. That's exactly the relationship God wants to have with you and me. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Thank you, Ali. And as you walk with God, he gives a little something. Okay? Don't forget that. That is exactly the relationship God wants to have with you. He says, pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. So when you're in trouble, pray. So think about you going along, you're talking with your dad. He says, I am with you always till the end of time. Remember that. There are many times in our lives when we are like the little toddler and we say, I do it by myself. And your father is going, let me. Let me. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. So when things are going well, praise the Lord. When there's trouble, praise the Lord. Talk to God. Tell him about it. So in this world here, we're going to have challenges. The fact that you have difficulty, trouble, doesn't mean that God is mad with you. You know, as you're holding his hand and you're walking along, he's speaking continually with you. God, take this thing away from me. And he says, no, I'm with you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so when he's not taking that thing away, we can still trust in him because our Father is continually speaking to us. Whatever it is you're going through, remember he holds your hand. And he's there with you. And you can speak to him and he'll speak back to you. I want to challenge you. When you take time to pray, will you take time to listen to him? Because that's exactly what God wants. It's not like you present a shopping list to him and then you go away. No, 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 no. He's got you like Ali, and you're walking along. And then when he gives you those little trophies, sometimes you forget him and then we play with all those trophies. You need to keep thanking him that he brought those things into our lives. So as we praise God for the thing that he has done, as we are happy, we're singing songs of praise. We're testifying to the thing that God has done for us. My wife says that when she's mad with me about something that I said or did, I have no clue. I come home and I'm singing. And so all the time I come home and I'm singing all the time, it's like, am I not being crazy here? This guy is singing as he's going along. I'm talking with my dad. I'm communing with my dad all the time. And he walks with me. He's talking with me. Whether I'm teaching a large class, 100 students, or I'm in a presentation, my father is with me. I'm suggesting that whether you're chopping vegetables for lunch, whether you're nursing the baby, can you think about that? Your father is there with you. And so we need to pray on all occasions. Ephesians 6:18 says, need to pray in all occasions, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer and requests. We need to be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. God invites us to pray for him, to pray for. I'm hoping that you're praying for me. Okay. Jesus told a parable to the disciples to show them that they must always pray and not give up. Pray and not give up. I don't know what that difficult thing it is that you're praying for. Jesus told them a specific parable to remind them that they should pray and not give up. Okay? So perhaps it is a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter that you're praying for. Your prayers are not in vain. The Lord hears your prayers. So hold on. He talks, Jesus illustrated that with a parable, and specifically the goal of the parable was that you should pray, not give up. There was this woman who, a widow who went to a judge who didn't care for people and was asking this judge to grant her justice against her adversary. And for several months, the judge didn't care. And then after a while, the judge said, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow comes, keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And then Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? So don't quit. Keep crying out to him. He hears you. He hears you. And he's not forgetting about you. God invites us to pray continually because he wants us to be continually engaged with him. That's what he says, pray continually. Like Ali's hand in her dad's hand, that's where God wants us to be. Moment by moment, every day. As I read through the scripture, one thing I find is that God likes to direct us step by step. He doesn't give me the direction or the destination and then say, navigate it by yourself. But I find a beautiful example in when God sent Samuel to go and anoint David to be king of Israel. In 1 Samuel 16, God sent Samuel and said, how long will you mourn for Israel? How long will you mourn for Saul since I've rejected my skin over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go? Saul is going to kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I'll show you what to do. Give him the first step. Let's go along. And I'll show you the next. And the next. And the next. Samuel did what the Lord said when he arrived at Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled when they met him. Do you come in peace? Yes, in peace. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. In the presence of the people there, Samuel is talking to them, but he's getting that feed from heaven. That's what we're talking about. The Lord goes on to say, the Lord doesn't look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel, but Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen him either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by, and Samuel said, nor has he chosen this one. He had all his 7 sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen any of them. So he asked, are these all the sons you had? They're still the youngest. He's tending sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health. And then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. Brothers and sisters, this is what I'm talking about. Sometimes God gives us an instruction, go there. And then we take off. And we're going to do God's work in our own strength. We're going to look at the exterior things. But God wants to be there with us, hold us by the hand and say, this one, turn this way, turn that way, turn that way. That continual dependence on God. That is what he's talking about. That is what prayer is for. The scripture says that Jesus did not do anything except what he saw his Father do. And you saw continually Jesus was repeatedly going to prayer. He prioritized prayer. You've heard it said here in this place, when we work, we work. When we pray, God works. And God wants to work through you. So you are on a journey with God, you, in this life here. We all are on a journey with God. You need to stay in contact with him, speaking moment by moment. This is our exciting privilege as children of God. This is the invitation that John was talking about. He's inviting you to be a vessel that he works through. Will you be that vessel? And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And so when I see all those monsters, he tells me I'm his own. And he has my hand. Okay? So we are called to prayer continually, not just as an emergency, not just in case of emergency, but continual dependence and walking along with God. And then he says in verse 14 through 15, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. This is God's word. This is your Father's word to you. In sickness, call the elders to pray. By the way, do you know your elders? Do you pray for them? They are accountable for you. God is the great physician. Satan, the thief, comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. Jesus comes that we might have life and have it abundantly. So when you are sick, he says, let's call the elders to pray over us, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The elders of the local church have the responsibility and privilege to pray over the sick. In obedience to God, as the elders pray, they anoint them with oil. Anointing with oil can be symbolic or it can be medicinal. For me, it's a simple matter of, okay, God, this is what you say in your word. So in obedience to you, I'm going to anoint this person with oil. Now, God, do what you have to say. Do what you want to do. I recognize that it is not what I want, but what God wants to do in that situation. Of course, it's not every time that every person that we pray for with anointing them with oil is going to be healed. But I want to obey God and see God glorify himself. I want to give him the opportunity to glorify himself. Anointing with oil was ancient medication. Faith does not refuse to go to the doctor. Faith trusts that God has the last word, not the doctor. James says, anointing the sick in the name of the Lord, in the real sense, taking medicine is an expression of faith. But it is not the doctor treatment or the procedure that heals us. Only God heals. Here's one other warning I want to make sure that we get. Have you ever tried to blackmail God? Where you have this perception that if I charge, God will do this for me. If I work more in the church, God will do this for me. It's a funny example in the scriptures. People of Israel were going, they went to war and they were defeated before their enemies. And so they said, oh, sorry, we went to war without taking God with us. And so they went and took the Ark of the Covenant into battle, thinking that they had God in a box. And therefore, we have God in the box, and therefore, he's going to rout our enemies. And guess what happened? It beat them hard, and then captured the Ark of the Covenant. You cannot put God in a box. Brothers and sisters, we cannot live in sin, unrepentant sin, and then expect that the elders anointed me with oil, and therefore I'm going to be healed. The scripture says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other that you will be healed. Can we confess that sin before God? You know, think about our little kids, the toddlers, misbehaving because they want to have their way. And they whine enough and then we give in to them. That's not our God. As you're walking with him and you're going through this sickness, and you're crying out to him, your elders anoint you with oil, he says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. If it's not healing. Or he will bring instant healing. Instant healing. Donna, come over here quickly. Donna has a brief testimony. You have 3 minutes. three minute pieces. Donna has a testimony about what happened with a little granddaughter. Is there a mic? Give it to her. Yeah. Yeah, go for it.
My first granddaughter was born a little over 9 years ago. And at that particular time, my daughter and her husband and myself in our family, we grabbed a hold of that scripture and we knew that if God didn't intervene, very likely my granddaughter would not survive. So from the very beginning, they knew something was wrong. And, part of it was that they were telling us is that her colon, her uterus, vagina, bladder, part of the lower intestine were all one piece. And that there was no exit. You can't live without an exit, you know, for urine and poop. And so the thought process was when she was born, she would go immediately into surgery and they would provide exits, you know, for that. And so, every time we'd get a bad report, I would call Pastor Joseph and he would call Richard Beatty and the others, and they would be at my house and they prayed over my daughter. And it truly was what I in my opinion, made 100% of the difference and gave me the confidence that the Lord was going to work. So, when she was born by cesarean section, which she was very high risk, pregnancy, as they were lifting my granddaughter out of my daughter's body, she began to poop. The room erupted in cheers because the expectation was not that. And so we saw the Lord intervene. One of the reasons we know he intervened was a few hours later, I had the privilege of being in a small room with her, and she's in, you know, got lots of lights on her, whatnot. And I start looking at her hand, and her left thumb looked very odd to me. And so I said to the nurse practitioner was in there, what's the deal with my baby's, you know, thumb? Well, they forced all of us out of the room. And so anyway, they did all these tests beforehand and decided that none of the organs were connected. They were all as they should be. But one of the signs that you have that birth defect is that your thumbs and your big toes will have no bone in them. And so she had no bone in her left thumb, which meant she had had all of her organs as one piece, and the Lord had healed her. Of course, they had all the x-rays and stuff. But the elders of the church came and prayed over her at least 4 or 5 times in my living room with lots of tears, with lots of scripture, with lots of exalting of the Lord. And he came through for us.
Amen. 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 That's my God. He has not changed. And he still does miracles. So if anyone is sick, let them call the elders, let them pray about them. The prophet in faith will heal the sick person. You see, someone has defined prayer as simply the privilege of using heaven's resources to change the world's direction. The privilege we have of using heaven's resources to change the world's direction. God entrusts his power to the righteous, not to those who live in disobedience. Sin is a big obstacle to answered prayer. In fact, Isaiah 59:1-2 says that surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dark to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. It's not that he can. He will not hear. As you come into the Lord's presence, ask him to search your heart. And ask him to open your eyes to the sin. Confess your sin to him. 1 John 1:8-9 says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 68:18 says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, this is David, the Lord would not have heard. Brothers and sisters, let's not stay overloaded, overwhelmed, bound by sin. God wants to use you. And so as you hold his hand, he's whispering to you, he's talking to you. He's reminding you about things you need to do. We cannot continue in unrepentant sin and expect God to work powerfully through us. It says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We are righteous through Jesus Christ. We have Christ's righteousness. Listen, we're talking about you. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that Jesus took your sin, your shame, the penalty for your sin was laid on him. Isaiah 53:4-6 says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When I come to Christ, when I come to the Lord through Jesus Christ, My sin, all of it, is nailed to the cross. God sees me clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so I stand before him righteous. God sees me just as if I had never sinned. I'm talking about you. God sees you just as if you had never sinned. When he convicts you of sin, confess that to him and then receive his forgiveness. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Father will forgive you. So we cannot just continue to tolerate sin in our lives and expect God to move powerfully in our midst. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21 says that if anyone is in Christ, a new creation, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Verse 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we become the righteousness of God. Brothers and sisters, when they talk about sins, you are one of them. You are a saint because of what Jesus Christ has done. You are righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done in Christ. And so when the scripture talks about the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective, it's talking about you. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin, and we are made right with God when we believe in him. And the Bible therefore encourages us to confess our sins to each other and pray for each other. As we pray for each other, as we confess our sins to each other, we can remind each other that the punishment that made us clean was laid on him. My brother, the punishment that makes you clean, the punishment that broke the chains, that was laid on him. You are righteous. You don't have to live with that anymore. And then we're praying for each other. Okay. Next, the Bible encourages us to pray like Elijah. He was just like you. You know about Elijah, right? I don't have time to read the whole story. Pray like Elijah. 1 Kings 17 through 18, chapter 18, James 5 says, Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. Again he prayed and the heavens gave rain. And the earth produces crops. Then he goes, Elijah was a human being just like you. He was depressed. He was discouraged. He was scared. He ran away. Elijah was a human being just like you. And he confronted Ahab in obedience to God, and God sent the rain. Your prayer is powerful and effective. You know, the prayer that doesn't get answered, the prayer that you never pray. Elijah was a man just like you. I'm going to give you an assignment. Go home and read 1 Kings 17. Through 18. I'm a professor. I have to give an assignment. Okay. So God had spoken to Elijah. And he said, if you guys don't turn from your sin, there's not going to be rain in this land. And Elijah spoke that word. God had spoken that. But you know what Elijah did? If you read the story, if you read the scripture, he sat there with his head between his knees and he's grappling with God. Father, confirm your word. Lord, confirm your word. God, come through. Send his servant to go and look out. There's no cloud. And he kept praying. And then the seventh time he said, it's a small cloud, as small as a hand. And then Elijah told the king, hitch your chariot and go. Because it's going to rain. And the rain came. Brothers and sisters, this is sometimes what we struggle with. God has given us a promise. We're excited about that promise. And then we sit there passively and expect that that promise is just going to happen. It's just going to be fulfilled. Remember, he's with us. And we need to be communicating with him continually. Father, thank you for your promise. Fulfill that promise. God, bring glory to yourself through that. To read Acts 28, Paul was caught in this shipwreck. And they are in a hurricane-like wind. Dark, 2 weeks, no light. And the storm's tossing them up and down. And Paul is holding God's hand. He said, last night, the angel of the Lord myself appeared and he said, do not be afraid, Paul. I'm taking you. And not one of these men with you is going to lose your life. That's our God. In the midst of that hurricane, he comes through. Elijah was just like you. Elijah was a human being just like you. He got tired. He got frustrated. And he prayed. And God answered. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The thing that you notice about Elijah's prayer, and I want to challenge you to read that. In the public, when Elijah stood to pray, it wasn't a long prayer, you know, a prayer that is going to bring fire from heaven. It wasn't a long, chant. No. Elijah just stood there. Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me so that these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. And this was after the prophets of Baal had been jumping up and down and doing everything, cutting themselves for almost 12 hours, and nothing happened. You know, brothers and sisters, public prayer, when you have to pray in public, it is not for demonstration. You're praying to a God who knows exactly what you need. Now, if you have done your homework, then you come into the public and it's good. Okay, God, it's time. Do your work. When Jesus was raising Lazarus from the dead, you remember that? He said, Father, I know that you hear me always, but for the sake of these people, I ask. And then he called for Lazarus, come forth. It wasn't a long prayer. Can we let our public prayer be short? And our private prayer be long and grapple with God? You know, for those of us who are dealing with prodigal children, your child can refuse to answer your text messages, but they cannot refuse your prayers because it has nothing to do with them. And so in their presence, I want to be gentle, but before God, I want to be aggressive. At the mother lion, fighting for their cubs. That's where we need to pray. Okay. So we're called to pray all the time. We're called to pray like Elijah. Elijah was just like us. We can pray because we are righteous. We are not standing in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And finally, the last two verses, verse 19 and 20. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, Remember this, whoever turns the sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. James encourages us to pray for each other, to confess our sins to each other, to hold each other accountable and support each other. We are a team. We are members of one army. We leave no one behind. John was reminding us at the last gap. The phrase leave no man behind is often heard in various contexts, from military operations to friendships. It emphasizes the principle of making sure no one is left behind regardless of the situation. We leave no man behind means to make sure that everyone in the group is accounted for and not abandoned. Look around you. Is there somebody here that's missing? That should be here. We need to ensure that every person, every member of our body is part of the group. We have that responsibility, no matter the circumstances. In the military, they have an ethos. I read about that this week. And the four principles or four points to that. The first one is what? I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. And so when your brother is sick, dying, falling into sin, you don't leave them behind and go on. We leave no one behind. Brothers and sisters, we are responsible for each other. That is what the Lord commands us to do. So if a brother falls into sin, we need to reach out to them and we need to help to bring them home to the Lord. That's what John has been talking to us about the gap. When we come to the gap, it's also reminding us that each of us has a role to play. We need to step up and play that role. It's not just for a few people who do the work. We are called for all of us to do that work. One of the things we've been praying for the body here is that God will unleash his gifts in his body and that all of you will step up to the plate. You have something to contribute to this body. He is giving you something unique to contribute to this body. And when you don't exercise that gift, we are all deprived. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It's your prayer. So as members of Christ's body, in this hostile, dark, depraved, sin-filled world, we walk daily with our Father, our hands in his hands. Don't forget, Heidi, our hands in his hands, going where he leads, in continual communication with him and obey him moment by moment. Our commitment is to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. We leave no one behind. Let's go to our Father this morning. Will you take a minute and talk to your Father? Confess to him the many times when you have done it by yourself, like the toddler, rather than look to him, rather than rest your hand in his hands. Ask for his forgiveness for the many times when you have lived in disobedience, when you have tried to blackmail him. Forgive us, Lord, and thank you for the invitation. We want us to be part of the work you're doing. You take ordinary people and you do extraordinary things through them. This morning, Father, we commit ourselves to you. And we pray, God, that you restore us. Grant us the grace to accept your invitation to be your vessels. And thank you. that you are working with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are interceding for us. Help us to join you in that work of intercession and to see your glory. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You hear what the Lord is saying? He's saying that when you come to prayer, there's a prayer meeting already going on. Jesus is praying for you. And so you go to join in that prayer. Let's do that. Receive the blessing, the benediction. The Lord bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord draw you continually into his presence. And may you experience that presence of the Lord as you go along every day. As you talk with him and he talks to you. And you experience his power flowing through your life. And may we all be like Elijah. Let's go forth into this dark world in the spirit of Elijah, bringing glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.